The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Bob Bryant, Israel Gutierrez, Ramona Shelburne, Clinton Yates. Does anybody know the stat if the higher-seeded home team goes down 0-2? They go on to lose 82% of the time.
Woo.
Musty, odoriferous emanations in Boston and Memphis tonight. Let's go.
So, yes, we do know the stat because you just told us.
Does anybody know where odoriferous emanations come from? It's an old Charles Barkley deodorant commercial. No? All right, what the Boston Celtics need to do tonight to avoid 0-2, and can they even do it with Giannis Euroleaping the way he does, and the defending champs champing down the way they do, and with Marcus Smart not full strength and questionable? That's the question. Around the horn to Boston and Mr. Bob Ryan. You will be there tonight. What can Boston do to even this series?
Well, they could consider making some shots. And while Doc,
good answer,
Doc
good answer.
Said, Doc Rivers long ago said it's a make-miss league. And we all know that to be true on any given night. But when you take 53s out of your allotted shots and you shoot poorly on top of that, you know that they had fewer two-point field goals in that game than any playoff game in their history dating back to 1951. There were times it was like an electric fence 6 feet from the basket. A guy would drive in, can't shoot here, pitch it out to the corner.
Bob, I know you're not just preaching to
points.
The choir. You are the Pope in St. Peter's Square here that three-pointer has ruined the game. Excuse my impression of you. So can Boston turn the switch in one game and be a team that is more focused on shooting the two, I guess, in your opinion?
They can play the game that they've been playing the previous month and a half when they had all the metrics, offensive, defense, the best in the league. They had an off game. They had a game maybe they forgot who they were playing. They weren't playing the stupid Nets. They were playing the Bucks, and that's going to be – I'm sure Ime Udoka will remind them of that. Okay. They'll play better. They need to score more than 89 points, I'll tell you that.
Israel Gutierrez, I'll bring you in here.
Well, Bob, of the 53-pointers, I believe 45 of them were considered open. And that's partially because that's what Milwaukee allows. They want you to take those shots. And so what the Boston Celtics need to do is, like you said, trust what they've been since January, which is not just an offensive team that moves the ball and can, you know, get Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in better spots. But it's also the great defensive team that can turn defense into offense. But when you look at those guys in the half court, you know what they need right now is a point guard. They need a Marcus Smart who's, you know, looks like he's being held together by string in that first game. They need him to be the point guard to not just make sure that you take the first obvious shot, to really work the offense and really, or rather work the defense, just make sure that you get the best possible shot. And if it happens to be late in the shot clock at the three-pointer, great. But I did think they took too many early ones and need to organize that offense a little bit more in order to really defeat that.
Mona, just building on what Israel said, if Marcus Smart is not Marcus Smart, do the Celtics even have a shot in this matchup?
They do. They have a shot. They just need more from Jason Tatum, and that's their guy who's first-team All-NBA or should be first-team All-NBA this year. Look, they took all those threes because Milwaukee built a wall in the paint and said, we're not going to let you drive in here and get what you want at the rim. And so they need to adjust, and this is what happens in the playoffs. Teams have had time to scout you. They've had time to create a defense. Now we see the adjustment that Ime Udoka is going to make in this game. They need to get back to moving the ball around. A point guard would help, you're right, but that's a team game too, is to move the ball around and to share it. And that's what they did so well when they were on their hot streak in the middle of the year.
And Clinton Yates.
It's not just what they've done in the last month. It's not what they've just done all season. It's what they've done against the Bucks specifically. Their offensive rating on Sunday was 89. They average about a buck 17 in the games they played against Milwaukee themselves. So you go back to that, you eliminate some of the threes. I thought they played pretty good defense on Giannis considering he didn't have a great shooting night. They managed that well enough. I think they just got to get more in rhythm from an offensive standpoint back to what they do because it works.
So you would say game one was an anomaly going on what their matchup was in the regular season. But Bob, back to Marcus Smart. Can the Celtics beat the Celtics if Marcus Smart is not 100%?
No, they cannot beat those Celtics without Marcus Smart. It's going to be, apparently, Derek White will start, and that's interesting because they've only, the unit with the other four starters and him has only played together 2 minutes all year. They do have one other option, Peyton Pritchard. Peyton Pritchard is capable. He's capable, and this could be a coming-out party. Who knows?
Make a pick for crazy tonight, Bob Ryan.
I got to like the Celtics at home just because. I've seen too many of these. I think they can do it.
Is Rui Gutierrez?
The Celtics, probably.
With conviction there. Ramona Shelford?
Yeah, I like the Celtics in this one. They'll make adjustments after that first game. They had 18 turnovers in the first game.
And Clinton Yates.
Good point.
Smart, iffy. I'll take the Bucks.
Okay. Israel, it's like your mind didn't even grasp that we might
definitely
ask who you got in the game. Unbelievable. Let's move on. Home teams that go down 0-2, go on to lose a series. How many percent of the time, Israel Gutierrez? Let me ask you this question. 82. Are you not paying attention? The must for Memphis tonight is mildew. 45 seconds. We timed it. That's how long Ja Morant stood under the basket motionless after that shot didn't fall. Grizzlies could have won it. They didn't. And now Draymond Green available for a full game, maybe? Who knows? Let's see what happens. Ramona, what does Memphis need to do tonight to avoid 0-2?
They need to get out and run. They were 29% contested field goals in the first game, which means that you're playing in the half court. You're letting the Warriors set their defense, and they have one of the best defenses in the league. You're the younger team. You need to put pressure on them and get out and run. In fact, in the first game, it was actually the Warriors who got out and ran. They had 27 points in transition.
Glenn Yates?
Yeah, I think Jaren Jackson needs to have another big game, but I would qualify this as must win, not because of they can't possibly come back, but because this is a Grizzlies team that's been building. You need to split this at home. They probably should have won that last game, and if you get out of this without one, you just sort of feel like you've taken a big step backwards, never mind who the opponent is. So I think tonight is huge. Must win for me.
Bob Ryan, the number one thing Memphis needs to do tonight?
I don't really think in those terms all the time. I just think they do it. They can play the same game, win. They lost by 1 point. They lost on the last play by not making a last shot that a guy can make. It wasn't easy, by the way, but he can make that shot. If they play the same game they play at home, and Jackson, I hope he can play as well, they'll be fine. They'll win.
Israel Gutierrez.
I was a victim to my delay earlier. I was answering the question as I was muted, so I would appreciate those points back if I could. I do think Memphis does have to defend really hard without fouling. Really need to run, like Ramona said. Really take the take Draymond Green out of his comfort zone defensively and make them run. And I think that's probably the best way to do that. You get the energy in the building. You get probably the best version of Ja Morant and sort of find a formula to sort of getting out of that half-court defense.
Do they have the formula to match up against Stephen Curry is the question, Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly have a young, capable guard that can match up against Steph. But I think what Memphis did last time is they went on the road and beat the Warriors in that play-in game last year. And I know we're all talking about that 82% stat that you threw out there, if they lose the first two at home. It's not the same home court advantage in San Francisco as it was at Oracle. So I think don't put too much pressure on this game if you're the Memphis Grizzlies.
All right, Israel, you want your points back with conviction.
Just in case you were going to ask it again, I had it.
No probablys about it. With conviction, who you got?
I've got the Grizzlies.
Bob Ryan, how about you?
I got Memphis.
Clinton Yates?
Ja Morant and the Grizzlies.
And Ramona Shelburne.
I'm going to say the Grizz tonight.
We'll move on. Got
ourselves a series.
Last night's results. Miami beating the unbeaten Sixers. Phoenix rolling the lukeful Mavs. Whether one game will be how this whole series goes. Israel, who had the more convincing, more series-portending outcome last night?
I'm going to go with the Phoenix Suns. I was impressed with what the Heat did in the second half, but the first half, Jimmy Butler, not great. The Phoenix Suns against this team, look, I understand that Luka had 45, but if you look at what Jalen Brunson did in the previous series and the game that he had yesterday, you kind of wonder, can he recreate what he did in that series? Because this isn't, you know, the rest of that first round Utah Jazz defense. This isn't Rudy Gobert coming out to the perimeter and you making him dance. This is a very together Phoenix Suns defense. So I think that's probably the most telling. You can have Luka go off and the Suns still pretty much shut other pieces
Ramona
down.
Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, I think it's the Heat because we came into this game saying, all right, can James Harden be James Harden? Are we going to see the 2018 MVP, the Houston James Harden? And I think we got a pretty resounding answer. That's no. I mean, 16 points, 5 of 13 from the field. He had no space, and some of that's not on him. Some of that's just they're 6 for 34 from three, so there's no reason to respect any shooters when they're shooting that poorly. But he's got to be dominant without Embiid, and he was not able to do that in this big game.
Clint Yates.
I think we learned the most about the Sixers for that exact reason. Without Embiid, they are a completely different team. And it was one of those deals where you learn, maybe not only do you not get out of this series, but it doesn't really look like you guys have much of a chance to win the title if this is what happens when Embiid is down or out. So I learned the most from them. I think Miami's depth really showed up well, and that's something that Heat fans should be really excited about.
Bob, anything in either of these games last night that make you think, well, maybe there's a series here, or is how one game went, how this series is going to go?
I don't think that Philadelphia can get by the loss of Embiid. I'm conceding that series to Miami right now. What got me interested is the other, because I as soon as I saw no Embiid, I said, no way. And then we saw it. The other series, back hole, Phoenix back hole. And the guy that doesn't get enough credit, and I discovered him myself, and I said, oh, my God, he's better than I ever thought. Last year is Ayton. Had another wonderful game last night. He's really good, and I don't think they have an answer for him.
Gutierrez, last word at the moment.
Well, speaking to the Heat's depth, you've got Duncan Robinson, who had the great opening game in these playoffs. Hasn't really played much. Didn't play at all last night. Even when the offense was struggling, didn't really play yesterday. So the Heat's depth, probably the best in the playoffs.
All right. That's our horn. Take a break right here. Coming up, Stanley's debut and the glory of a full line fight, which is what we saw with Toronto and Tampa. Most exciting series, I think, in the first round. We'll be back by ourselves.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Very public shots to very private areas in these NBA playoffs this year. Crowder kicking Luka last night in the undercarriage. The second or third shot in these playoffs. Draymond has like a bat signal in his house whenever anyone does anything. He said he's been ejected for less. Clinton, the preponderance of the crotchal shots. Something or nothing, and should Crowder be suspended like Draymond seems to think?
I don't have a problem with suspensions. I don't have a problem with throwing people out of games. I do have a problem with people getting hit in the man region. You all are elite athletes. This is happening too much par chance. Mm-hmm. Get it together, and the only way they will is if they start telling people it's wrong.
Something else is happening a bit too much par chance, and that's a banned word used by panelists on this show. Ramona Shelburne, how about you?
I don't think you get suspended for that, but that is that move where you, with a shooter, kicks their legs out. That's actually an offensive foul. It should be a foul on Jay. And I think it's, you know, I understand what's happening in this series where the Suns are basically saying, okay, we're going to let Luka score, but we're going to rough him up. And so it's maybe taking things a little too far.
Real Gutierrez?
Yeah, this to me feels like a shooter trying to take advantage of a rule, kicked his leg out, and caught Luka in an unfortunate part, I was going to say. But Draymond Green, actually, with sideline reporting basically from home, I think is something I'm really interested in. The Draymond cast, because I'd totally be interested.
Oh, yeah, the bat signal goes up. It's an emergency podcast within seconds. It's amazing how he's ready. He stays ready. Bob Ryan on the preponderance of shots to the region there.
I didn't realize there was an epidemic of same, it took me about 5 or 6 looks to realize the nature of what he did, it was totally unneeded. Okay. I'd say it was worth a 5-minute major. That's what I would.
But not a suspension. So Draymond doesn't not get a suspension. That other players get officiated like he does. We'll move on. An opening night for Stanley where about half the teams missed the memo. Maple Leafs demolished the Lightning, Austin Matthews show, and the full line fight in this game. Hurricanes punishing the Bruins, Boston goaltender Linus Ullmark playoff debut. Oof. Blues mucking the Wild. They clogged and blocked Minnesota's million shots and stole the game on the road. And in the only close game, Kings on away ice beating Edmonton, Oilers goalie Mike Smith and Philippe Deneau, don't you know, basketing the game-winning biscuit. Clinton, biggest outcome from the first night of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I think the biggest outcome was the Leafs, but my favorite story was the other netminder in the Boston skate, which was Antti Raanta from the Canes. That guy's been in the league for like 9 years. Yeah. It was his playoff debut, and he did great. He's also the only guy that's ever gotten to spend a day with the Stanley Cup because he was on the team, but a roster technicality kept him off. So good for him, 32 years old.
So in that case, you had two goaltenders making playoff debuts. One got the result they would want, and the other got rolled. Does it mean anything, Clinton?
No, I just think that's a good story. But most importantly, getting back to Toronto, they needed that at home, and they got to beat some people up because around the NHL, they're going to have to get out of the first round and be relevant.
Mona Shelburne.
How about the LA Kings with Philippe Deneau? Great free agent signing last year. Took out Austin Matthews. This year looks like Connor McDavid. I thought he'd be so busy on Connor McDavid, he wouldn't be able to contribute offensively, but his line had 3 of the 4 goals last night.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, well, Toronto has lost 7 straight playoff series, okay? So I understand they're the higher seed here, but to come in and just dominate Tampa the way they did, pretty shocking. You don't just do that to the 2-time defending champs. And, yeah, last year, game one winners only went 9-6, so it's not like Tampa can't come back from this, but it was a good start for Toronto.
Bob Ryan.
55 years ago last night, Dave Keon scored a goal to give the Maple Leafs the Stanley Cup. You'd have to be 61 years old minimum to have a vague recollection of that. They haven't won since. What they did last night was encourage a whole dominion of Canada, particularly the province of Ontario. And by the way, Austin Matthews had 3 points, 2 goals and assists. But Mitch Marner broke an 18-game drought of scoring goals. And maybe if he's going to get going, they're going to go somewhere.
Right, Bob, pointing it out to us all. Standing on guard for thee. We'll move on. Buy or sell 3. Where are all the hits in baseball? Would you all agree baseball does history pretty well, right? I mean, they seem to track statistics over the 160 years of the game. Well, the batting average has never been lower than it is right now for the entire league. 232. But listen to this. The expected batting average is 252. So there's a 20-point differential, whether it be on luck, great fielding, the shiftiness that defenses go to now. Bob Ryan, does baseball have a batting crisis or one bad spring training mucked up by the lockout that put this in play?
Well, it will get better by July, whether it has something to do with it. But the fact is, there's a half a dozen things making a perfect storm here you mentioned a lot of them. The baseball is an issue we never thought was going to be an issue 3 months ago. We know anything about the baseball. It doesn't go as far half the time. And so that's that. And my biggest thing, though, is that every pitching staff's got 2 or 3 relievers coming in throwing 98, 99, 100, and it makes a big difference.
Lynn Yates?
To ameliorate the problem in terms of spring training being mucked up, as you said, they added extra roster spots for the pitchers. I think that's something that helped them. It's the same deal for the batters, too, though. They're not in rhythm. So, no, the sky is not falling, analytics people, just because batting averages are down in April. Relax. They're trying to get into it. They're big leaguers.
Yeah, all the hits are down in Dunedin and Peoria and Glendale. I mean, it takes time to get your rhythm going, and I think that abbreviated spring training is hurting. But I also think, Bob, you hate the three-pointer. I am against the launch angle madness, okay? That's not baseball. That's just home run derby, and I think this is also a payoff of 5-6 years of everybody focusing on hitting long balls. Now, when the baseball's dead and the humidors are out, those are turning into warning track power fly balls.
And I think it's Dunedin, right? I don't know. I think it's Dunedin, but Dunedin sounds like
I was just about to ask if that's how you pronounce
definitely
that, because
Dunedin.
I've never heard it said
it
out loud.
It is Dunedin, but you had something
Dunedin.
From Avatar. Dunedin,
you know what I meant.
It's great. Go ahead, Israel.
I mean, we've all seen this coming, right? Normally, this time of year, batters are behind pitchers. It just happens to be the case. But when you see the trend with the launch angles and everything else Ramona's saying and all the strikeouts, and you combine it with more pitchers on the roster for a short time and the shortened spring training, you're going to have this. It was bound to happen. So it will level off. We'll just see to what level, because it's probably going to be more of the same conversation by the time the season's
but
over.
This
hey,
is
baseball needs to
happen
change.
Historically as well. There have been years, the years of the pitcher, right, Bob Ryan? Ostremski won a batting
yeah.
title
oh, yeah,
one
68.
Year, the only player in the league to hit over 300.
yes,
yep, exactly. Gutierrez, Yates, thanks for your time today.
82%.
Shelburne and Ryan. Showdown
hey.
Next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL schedule comes out in 10 days. Where will the Cardinals be when DeAndre Hopkins comes back from his 6-game suspension? Ramona Shelburne, Bob Ryan, welcome to Showdown. Momo, can the Cardinals and Kyler Murray recover from 6 games without Hopkins?
Look, it's going to be tough. They were 1-4 without him last year, and it went from looking like Kyler Murray went from looking like the MVP when he was in the lineup to falling off a cliff at the end there. They really need some stability coming into this season.
Bob Ryan?
Do they still have A.J. Green? Do they just pick up Marquise Brown? Do they still have J.J. Watt? Do they still have Kyler Murray? They can. I'm not guaranteeing. Yes, they can go. I go 4-2 as possible.
4-2 after 1-4 last year. Huh? Point. Shelburne. Showdown 2. Could it be a breakthrough in umpire-player relations? Mets pitcher Chris Bassitt thought he got a strikeout, walked off the mound. Umpire Chad Fairchild didn't call it. Sometimes that leads to hurt feelings. Look what happened between innings. Fairchild says, my bad. Bob?
Hall of Fame umpire Bill Clem set the tone for all future umpires by saying, I never missed a call. We all know that's poppycock. Chad Fairchild, you did the right thing, and it's going to be a good day for all relations with umpires.
Albert?
I'll tell you what, this is everything. When you're a player, we all know the umpires miss some calls sometimes, but they always stand their ground and never admit it. This is all you want. I know you can't change a call, but just say it's my bad. We'll move on. That was great.
Mea culpa, Bob Ryan. Ramona Shelburne, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Well, Tone, the U.S. State Department has reclassified Brittany Griner as wrongfully detained now in Russia. And for the last couple of months, all of us have been trying to abide by what we were being told is the safest for her, which is not to make a big deal about this, which is not to talk about it. But now there's going to be some real efforts to bring her home. WNBA is putting her initials on all the courts around the league. And people are being encouraged to speak out and bring attention to her plight. She's been in Russia for 75 days now, and this is it's a very concerning situation that finally, hopefully, it's moving in a direction where she can come home and be safe.
This, I still don't know what to feel about this. A decal on the court? Is that going to accomplish anything here? This is just a troubling story. See you tomorrow.